Mike Podcast, Mental Health for the Culture.
We address real life topics and brainstorm real solutions.
This podcast is meant to be informational and not to serve as a personal counseling session. If you feel that you have some mental health issues that need to be addressed, please find a counselor near you.
Hey, Nedra.
Hey, Kendra.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. All right, so let's get right into in the news. So in the news recently, there was that college scam, the college entrance scam of people who were paying for their children to get into,
the Ivy League
schools. Ivy Leagues, yeah. Right. Yeah. The schools with the great reputations and benefits and everything. So they were paying for people to, the one guy, his name is Rick something. They were paying for him to clean up their college applications to make their experience look better, you know, saying that the students were on the crew team when they weren't, photoshopping them in the pictures, like in their crew uniforms, whatever crew is, just rowing the boats, I think. Things like that to get them in.
Absolutely.
So one of the main perpetrators, the face of this whole ring, is Aunt Becky from Full House. Did you watch Full House growing up?
Okay, so who is Aunt Becky? Long hair, dark.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Long dark. So, she was Aunt Jess, Uncle Jesse's wife.
Right. So what do you mean she was the Okay.
She has two daughters who were going into college. Now, she didn't go to college. She's been an actress all her life.
Right.
Her husband is the designer, Massimo, whose shirts and clothes were in Target for years.
Okay.
He didn't go to college. So there are interviews showing or play where she's saying how I want my daughters to go to college. It's very important. We didn't go. We want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
So the two daughters, one of them is her own YouTube star with a huge following and everything. They paid for this one guy who was doing this. They paid for him literally. He photoshopped one of them, I can't remember which one, into photographs saying mm-hmm. that she's a part of the crew team. She does community service or whatever,
right,
to make them look more enticing to these Ivy League colleges. And so they're in this life. Like the one of the daughters is good friends with the daughter of the board of this school.
So let me just hop in. So this whole scandal is about like people were paying for their kids to be into certain colleges, and apparently she was one of those people who got upset with the system, and she kind of ratted on the system because she was upset.
I think it was an investigation. It was an FBI investigation called Operation Varsity Blues, you know, like that movie. And they were looking into this guy. They were looking into who was using his services. Becky was found to be using, the actress' name is Lori Loughlin, was found mm-hmm. to be using his services to get her daughters into college. The one daughter, the youngest one, Olivia Jade, she actually had a YouTube post where she's saying, I don't know how much college I'm actually going to get from this mm-hmm. because the first week or first month of school, I got to go to Prague to do a campaign somewhere.
What are your feelings about this whole people paying for their kids to go to a certain college type thing?
So there are other people. I mean, I've said on Becky, there are other actors, you know, famous rich people, more prominent that we know than others. It's definitely cheating the system. Like we all know that this sort of thing has been going on. So it's not really new. It's not really a surprise. You know, parents have been doing things that they felt would get their children into college by mm-hmm. any means necessary. And a lot of times the kids don't even want to go to college. In this example with her daughters, they didn't want to go to college. Not the one. And so it's just you could be taking opportunities from other students.
That this thing has been going on, why is it even a news story? Like,
because there are people in our great American society who act like they never knew this has been going on. And it's a big shock.
So it's a news story because it's a shock to us that people are admitting, like, yes, I paid for my kids to get into this college.
Well, they haven't admitted anything, but yes, they've been caught. doing activities. Yes. And it is illegal. Like, it is illegal to do, you know, acts like this when it's supposed to be, supposedly, I'm doing air quotes, an equal playing ground for college admissions and for students. So it is illegal. And that's why it's kind of, it's like very interesting. You know? Do you All have right. any thoughts on it?
If you could,
would you pay? Would you help pay for services? You can't say yes, but would you help pay for services to boost your children's
chances? I think we have, you know, a very negative depiction of people paying for stuff. It reminds me of like sororities where you can pay to be like, what is it called? Like paper, or you could like, I don't know, cross naturally. I don't know like what that terminology is.
You gotta
is.
Cross the burning sands or whatever.
Right.
And, like earn your spot. Which is
right. But there is like some, I guess like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like one thing is better than the other thing.
Oh, okay. Right.
And so there's like some, evils. There are some like hierarchy in that. And so I think that when people have money to pay for stuff, they will pay.
They will pay.
To get out of having to do certain things. And I don't think that that's always a bad thing. I think that's a privilege of maybe having money. I don't think it's fair. Let me be straight.
Yeah, I thought you were saying that you think it was fair.
No, it's not fair. But here is the thing. I think that's something that happens because we definitely live in a society where money rules. So it's not that these things are okay, but I'm not surprised by these things happening.
I'm not either.
Yeah, so when it's like, oh, people can pay to have the, you know, the get into a college or pay to get into this club or play to get into this sort of thing, I think it's like, yeah. Like, I don't know why people wouldn't.
Okay.
Because it's an advantage. It's a perk of being in a certain socioeconomic thing. And I think, yes, it's absolutely unfair. And I think most reasonable people would think about it as, oh my gosh, like, should I be paying for my kid to get into college?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are some people who be like, yes, I'm absolutely paying for my kid to get into college or to get in this program or to get in this thing because that is more important than integrity. So I think it's more of an integrity thing.
I think it's interesting how in this very specific case, the two people who are, like I said, the face of this ring, of this investigation are two women actors, Lori Loughlin, who plays Aunt Becky, and then Felicity Huffman, who has been acting for, you know, she's been in lots of things, including Desperate Housewives. It's very interesting that it seems like maybe their husbands were in on it, but yet they're the ones getting arrested and indicted for this, you know, very white-collar type crime. And so, yeah, I agree. When people, if they can pay for things, they definitely will pay for things. And when you have money, you have privilege, you can pay for conveniences in a way that most other people cannot pay. And from what I've seen in the example of Aunt Becky, and I just keep referring to her as that because, you know, that's what I know her as from my childhood. It seems like her daughter didn't even want to go to college. So when you're paying these, you know, paying and having this whole package, you know, put out there as a kid who wants to go to college to do certain things, like when she didn't have to and had no interest in doing it anyway, it's like a slap in the face to those who really want to go and want to do it. Now, the other actress, Felicity Huffman, I haven't heard too much about her and her daughter, so I could assume maybe they actually are making the most out of their time in school, even though they needed some assistance getting in there in certain schools. But, you know, it's just an example of, like I said, what most of us who have, you know, had to struggle to get money, to pay for application fees, to take tests, to take tutoring to take tests, to, you know, apply for scholarships and grants and loans, which are easier to get than the first two I said. You know, it's kind of like, well, we already know that people were paying people, you know, be able to pay to get this privilege that we have to pay to get.
Yeah.
So, you know.
What else do you
All
have
right.
in the news?
So I had a quick note about something I heard of. There is a new drug that's either on the market or is being tested to treat postpartum depression.
I've heard about that, yes.
And it's a one-time IV drip that could cost about $25,000 for the trial. Mm-hmm. So have you heard anything else besides that about it?
No. So, you know, I think there are so many things that we could do to treat postpartum prior to taking drugs. Now, there is a treatment that folks do where, you know, if a person has a high likelihood of having postpartum, you may want to start them on antidepressants or anti-anxiety type medications. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like there are some other things we could do. I think the biggest thing with, you know, postpartum is making sure that people have support in place, that if they have a previous history that we're addressing, that, you know, previous depression or anxiety, there are things that we could do around making sure that people are aware of the signs and not calling it the baby blues.
Right.
So I think there are a lot of things that we could do to definitely manage postpartum. But, you know, I think this drug, I think, you know, as with any mental health issue, there's always some sort of drug to combat that thing that we can be, you know, maybe, I don't want to say proactive about, but some things that we can address without the drug. So I'd be interested to see how this sort of pans out and if it's like a preventative thing, if it's a reactive thing, like how that works out, because I think postpartum is way more rampant than we know.
Right.
And a lot of time folks don't know that they're actually experiencing postpartum. So I would be very interested to see how this pans out. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know if it's being tested, if it's on the market to be used right now. And again, we in going with our last conversation about privilege, that definitely seems like something that only a few people could take advantage of if it is beneficial anyway. You know, I'm sure with the way that health insurance goes with women's rights and reproductive rights, it probably won't be covered by insurance, at least not for a while. So
not initially.
No. So only certain people will know the benefits. If you got a good 25 G's to drop and try it, then hey, okay. All right. So next, what I'm into. Nedra, what are you into?
So I have been watching Boomerang, which is a BET show, and it is kind of like a remake from it's a remake from the movie Boomerang with Eddie Murphy. So it's like modern day, and it's about the kids of Eddie Murphy and then like other folks from the movie. So that's really good. I've been watching American Soul, which is the story of Don Cornelius, the creator of Soul Train. Mm-hmm. I've also been watching Hannah on Amazon Prime, which is the story of this, you know, it's kind of like Born Identity, where this person like, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't know who I am, but I have all these special skills. So it's like
a particular set of skills.
I have a particular set of skills. So she's like, you know, kicking ass and taking names during the whole show and kind of trying to figure out like who she is. So it's very interesting in that like assassin sort of way. So I've been watching Hannah. In terms of reading, I've read this wonderful, oh my gosh, wonderful book called Come As You Are. And it is a book about women's sexuality. And it talks a lot about being comfortable with your body, discovering your body, and just how to get more into being able to fulfill your sexual pleasure. And so, go ahead. I heard a breath.
Yeah, not to be crass, but how is cum spelled?
See, not the way you're thinking.
Okay, I mean, you said sexual pleasure and gratification. Okay.
They're not telling you to come over with a C-U-M.
Okay.
It's okay. C-O-M.
Okay. C-O-M-E.
C-O-M-E.
Okay. Play on words.
Okay, yes. So it's not a play on words. It's actually like Come As You Are.
Okay.
And it's a great book because, you know, it just points out so many wonderful things. Like, you know, 70% of women are only able to achieve orgasms, like, you know, by their clitoris, and so mm-hmm. or by their clitoris. Mm-hmm. So clitoral stimulation is the way, and mm-hmm. so just helping women to advocate for that more and mm-hmm. incorporate that into their sexual experiences mm-hmm. and being able to enjoy more sex. So that book was like really, really good in mm-hmm. terms of, you know, I just feel like so many women are, you know, uncomfortable with their sexuality and unfamiliar yeah. with the different parts of themselves. So to mm-hmm. be able to have that information for me is just like invaluable to be able to impart on other folks.
Yeah, it's definitely very valuable because a lot of us get taught and told these, you know, narratives and lessons in life early on about sex and relationships.
Yep. And that impacts most your libido.
Of them, oh yeah, and most of them don't involve, hey, sex is going to be great and you should enjoy it. And here are some ways that, or things that you could do so that you could enjoy it. Ask for what you want. Like, you know, like we don't get those kind of lessons. We get told a lot of us, good girls do this, nasty girls do that. You know, make sure
or
you
don't
know.
Touch yourself.
Yep. Well, good girls do this. Nasty
or this
girls
is
touch
nasty.
Themselves. Right, exactly.
This is inappropriate.
Yeah. And it's sometimes, you know, a lot of the lessons that we're told are more so the things that good girls do in order to get a man to marry you. And none of that really honors your own sexual gratification and using your voice and speaking up and stuff like that. You know, I've said before, I like listening to podcasts about relationships, intimacy, and sex. Which, you know, those things are all tied in a lot of times. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you're into?
Nope. What about you?
I am into a new podcast that I found. And I'm still going to look for the one that you talked about in a previous episode, Crime Town. But I just found this one called Disgraceland. Mm-hmm. And it's true rock and roll crime stories. And so they have an episode about some, you know, recording artist and the scandals of their past. And so I've listened to the one about Sam Cooke, and I had only known a little bit. I knew that he was killed and that people have always questioned the circumstances around his death and, you know, conspiracy theories about it. And so listening to this one episode, you know, was pretty interesting. Sid Vicious, who was a rock and roll guy.
Ooh, Sid and Ed?
Huh?
Okay, sorry.
So there's this Sid and Nancy are, yeah, it's a couple that is known to be kind of like
they
a tumultuous relationship.
Yes.
So I think he was dating, the love of his life is Nancy in real life. And I think that whole term for to describe another type of couple came from that Sid and Nancy type relationship. Or like this is very Sid and Nancy type of feel. And it's a relationship where the couple, they love each other. They are codependent. They are enmeshed and stuck, but also very toxic to each other. And so Sid Vicious and the love of his life, Nancy, were literally, like, that was their relationship. And so I think that's where that term comes from. But, yeah, his was very interesting. Big Lurch, this Houston rapper who was high on bath salts or whatever he was on and killed his roommate and took her lungs out and ate it. Like, all kind of stuff. But each episode...
What's the name of this?
It's called Disgraceland.
What are
Disgrace
you listening to this on?
On Apple. I listen to it on Apple. But it's on, like, various platforms. But it's 30 minutes each episode, so they're pretty short. You know, of course, I don't know how much research you can go into and communicate in 30 minutes, but I like that time frame. But the structure, there's a structure to it. He starts everyone with the same intro to the topic of the day, and then the music score is interesting. I like it. It's a pretty good podcast, and, like, there's one on Tupac. There's one on Biggie that I got to listen to, so... That's what I've just recently found. And I haven't really been listening or watching anything else very new, just a couple of different shows, Grey's Anatomy, and things like that. You know, I'm watching Wendy on YouTube because I work when she comes on. And I know there's been, we could talk about that, actually, if we went back to in the news, Wendy, and the questions and the things that she's been going through surrounding her
marriage. You can talk about that. I don't talk about Wendy.
You don't? Is that...
No, like I don't watch Wendy. Like
right.
I'm not a fan.
Right.
So yeah, I don't really be knowing what's going on with Wendy.
Okay. So, okay, I'll finish my what I'm into, and then maybe, let's see, let me jump back to that. So I've also been into watching Martin because I'm doing research for my next book, which is a trivia book based on Martin. And so I've been doing research by watching the show and taking my notes and, you know, doing some research into the behind the scenes of the show and everything. And it's been a great trip down memory lane, I will say that. Martin, Gina, Pam, like the real actors, they were all really talented, great comedic timing. And I didn't appreciate that in that time, but I'm appreciating it now. Okay, so that's pretty much all I've been into recently.
All right, so you want to go back to Wendy Williams. What about Wendy
Williams? Well, only, you know, just to say that's what's in the news. And as an example, we've talked about Wendy Williams before. And so all the rumors about her relationship with her husband and how tumultuous that is, it is potentially toxic and abusive because, you know, there are rumors out there that he is very controlling and abusive to her. And then he has a side lady who he is maintaining a household with who was pregnant and now has had that baby. So Wendy has talked about very openly on her show about her struggles with substance abuse, with cocaine. And like years ago, back in her radio days, she said. So more recently, when her show was on hiatus for a few months, the reason that was given was because she has Graves' disease. She's been open about that. And thyroid issues. And so all of that was flaring up. And, you know, then she had a shoulder injury and the painkillers, yada, yada, yada. So she was out for that. So when she comes back to her show, she eventually makes an announcement that she's been living in a sober house for the last few weeks. She's been going to meetings and all this. And it was kind of vaguely saying that she has fallen off the wagon with her substance abuse and has been living in a sober house with a sober coach and other people who have substance abuse issues. And she has a foundation she started a few years ago to help other people with this. So she made that announcement, and so and this even more recently, this last week, it's been said that she has fallen off the wagon again. She's left the sober house. She's been drunk and, you know, had to go to the hospital to get that sober up bag of electrolytes and things. And so, you know, it could be an example of, you know, the emotional instability going on within her household. It could not be because she has not, as openly and candid, and this is what I find interesting, as openly and candid as she has spoken about her life and her different struggles, she has not spoken or responded to anything, any of these rumors regarding her husband. So, but
well, why would you?
Why would you? And so, in my theory, if she's not going to leave him, then she can't really say anything about him. So, she don't talk about that. She don't respond. She don't... The most that she or he in his recent statement have said about it was, we're good over here. And that's it. So, you know, that is... we usually talk about in the news things that tie into mental health. And I think that definitely is a tie-in to mental health.
Well, right. I think it...
You got something to say about it, huh?
No, I just think that it's so hard to say anything because she's not saying anything.
Exactly.
So it's like,
exactly.
What are we responding to here? If she's like, I don't know anything. It's like, okay, well, all right.
Yeah, well, my response was the last thing I just said. Basically, you know, if she's not going to leave him, she can't say anything about it, you know, other than a very vague denial of the rumors out there.
Right.
Yeah.
So our main topic for today, we're talking about, well, not necessarily talking about, but we're going to tie in Jesse Smollett, and we're going to talk about victim shaming. So one of the things that, you know, I think is really important, and I'm thinking well beyond Jesse and just thinking about like even the Bill Cosby situation, that we're giving people space to say that this thing happened to me, and even if there is no evidence, this thing is true for me. I don't know if that means like it's true or if it's true for me. Because with the Jesse Smollett thing, like, you know, we've talked about this before. It was like, oh my gosh, he has these allegations. And I was kind of like, you know, the whole Subway thing was unbelievable, but I hope this is true for him. And the charges against him have been dropped. And so for me, it's like, maybe this is a whole thing. Like maybe, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know the details of it, but it certainly seems like there was no, nothing done by him illegally. So I think we have a lot of things where it's like, in the media, we want the victim to prove that this thing is true before we can believe that this thing is true. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I'm not saying that Jesse Smollett, you know, this, you know, whole Nigerian thing sort of happened to him, but I just wonder, like, why are we always like, prove to me that this happened to you? Like, what are the facts? And then we see the facts and we're like taking apart the facts and we're trying to figure out like what part of this is true. Could he really have done this? It's like, when will we get to a point where we just feel like if someone says, I was sexually assaulted, I was abused by, I was jumped, that we would just be like, okay. It seems like the tone of society right now is like, and then what did you do? And where's the proof? Do you have pictures? Was it on film? Instead of, wow, that sounds like a really tough story. Like, there's no empathy around it. It's all like, nah.
Yes. Well, let me go back to one thing. I think you said that he hasn't been found innocent. The charges were dropped. Everything was erased, which just means that he didn't go to court and was not proven guilty or innocent. It's just basically going to be treated like this whole thing never happened, you know? So I think what that may be, kind of an unfortunate thing for him in his case, only because he hasn't been proven innocent. He stands on his word that he is innocent. He didn't falsify anything. He didn't make it up. This is true. Like, this is what happened. And I'm not saying that anything is wrong with that. You know, if we have spoken about this before in the last episode, where I'm inclined to believe victims, you know, so I still am. But it's in terms of answering your question, Nedra. Yeah, we definitely are in a very skeptical society. And I think that part of the reason is because right now we have so much technology, video footage, audio recordings, Big Brother, somebody's always around listening and watching. Like, you know, there's paper trails and text on social media. That's a whole recording site, basically. And so since we are able to see proof and demonstration and examples of things so quickly and so often, it makes people say, well, if I don't have those things, then I, you know, that they can question it. Like, did this really happen? Where's the video? Because so, now we're conditioned to see video for
that.
Everything.
I think that, so I feel like when I talk to people, like particularly couples, like they will have two different sides. Mm-hmm. And I will speak about those sides as if both sides are true. Right. And so I've gotten the feedback of, wait, that didn't happen. I'm like, well, it happened to this person, so it did happen. Mm-hmm. It's like,
well, yeah.
It's like I'm not here to say which story is correct and which story is not correct. Like, that's not my goal here. My goal is to be like, your story is correct. Like, yeah. I have no evidence to show that you're being dishonest about this thing. So I think it's really hard for me to be like, no, this didn't happen for a person. I'm always like thinking about like, maybe it could be true. Like, I just think I'm not the best person to be like, no, that person's a liar. Because, you know, like even with the Subway thing, I think we talked about it last time. And I'm like, that was the most like part of the story that was like,
because it would be untrue for you.
It would be
because
untrue for me.
Because you would never go out at late at night to get a Subway sandwich.
Ever, ever go out after 8 p.m. to get a Subway sandwich.
What about Jimmy John's?
Jimmy John's? Worse than Subway.
Oh, really?
Ooh, they bread.
Jimmy John's bread?
I hope they're not listening.
Aren't they known for their bread? I mean, you know, there are some diehard people who ride at any time of the night for Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's, mm-hmm, with that shredded meat? No.
Is it shredded? turkey. You probably don't
I have not had Jimmy John's in a very long time, but when I had it, all I remember is bread. I don't remember a lot of taste. So.
Oh, the bread is the bread is tasty. Tasty white bread. And the sandwiches are quick and easy to make. You don't have to wait long, you know.
Okay, so Jimmy John's is not my preference. Neither is Subway.
What would you go out for in the middle of the night to get?
I mean, here is kind of tough because there's not a lot of stuff open
right,
in the middle
here
of
here in Charlotte, North
like,
Carolina.
So I'm from Detroit, and in Detroit we have these things called like Coney Island.
Coney Island, yeah.
And so Coney Island is like a diner, pretty much. And so it's like open
24 hours. They got everything on.
They have everything. Like you could get pancakes, you could get
shrimp
wings,
baskets,
you could get a shrimp basket. And so I'm inclined to think like at 2 a.m. I want some wingdings.
Okay.
I want some French fries. I want something like not like
basic,
healthy. Maybe.
Okay.
Like I don't. I'm not
because usually when you get hungry in the middle of the night, it's after a night of maybe partying, a little bit of drinking.
Yeah, I'm like
you
I want
late,
some potato
hungry,
chips.
You want something
like,
filling
not,
to soak up some
I'm
of
not
alcohol.
Like, 2 a.m. I'm really craving
a salad.
And I don't know. Like people may have that craving. That's just not. That's just not my craving.
Yeah, usually if you up that late, you know, you need something greasy. And
but
and
I feel like when I hear those stories,
but
it you know, like Jesse's story, I was like, oh, Subway?
That was the red flag for you.
That was a red flag for me.
Subway
but
at 2 in the
think,
morning.
I think that goes back to victim shaming. Like, we think about these, like, little small, minute details where, you know, you say, hey, Bill Cosby raped this woman, and she was in his woman at 3, and you're like, 3 a.m.?
3 a.m., yeah.
3 a.m.?
It's like
I
said. I
would never be in anyone's room at 3 a.m.
Exactly. It's so
it's like, was it rape? It's like, yeah, I think she said it was rape. Like, she was passed out, so it was kind of like rape.
Yeah.
Like,
and just
know.
Because
she
it's 3 a.m. doesn't
like,
make it not rape.
You get so caught up on that small, like, the Subway detail. Yeah. They had a noose that is just like, okay, this whole story is out of there. And it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Like,
there's a deadline for things. Like, at 1 a.m., it's rape. But at 3 a.m., well, you were still there. So.
Right.
But it's like I say, like, you know, we do so many things in life that we don't think anything about, and it's not a problem until something happens, and then it's a problem.
Right.
And especially as a victim, until something happens to you, now all of a sudden these things that you just been doing in your life, just roaming around, doing, living life, that's normal, no big deal. You know, now all of a sudden are a big deal and can be a reason to dissect your story and figure out how you, as the victim, could have brought this on yourself, you know?
Right.
Things like dude was hungry, you know? And if he was hungry and wanted to get something late at night and Subway is what's open and close. And I know there was like, that was during that winter polar vortex that Chicago was going through. So that's been a reason to question it. But you know, like, maybe he's gone out late at night before, and the weather was not a reason to stop him in this case. And so because something happened to him, now there's a reason to dissect. But what were you doing going out late at night? What were you doing going? People do that all the time, you know?
So and let me just say that there is this podcast serial, and I believe it's like the second season is about
This American Life. American Life cereal? Like with Adnan?
Yeah. Adnan. So that whole thing
season,
is based on him not remembering the details of what he did on a particular day when he was accused of killing someone. And he's like, I don't really remember. Like, it was a basic day. Like, I really don't remember the details. And so they're able to be like, okay, so you don't have an alibi. You don't have all of this
and
stuff.
And he's villainized for that reason.
Yeah.
You don't know what you were doing at 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon?
It
was like regular stuff. I mean, he was a high school student, right?
Right.
Like,
so he's
out of school.
Yeah, so he's like, I think I went to the library, and they're like, no, according to the footage, you didn't. He's like, oh, okay, like, I don't really remember.
I don't know.
know.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't remember.
Like people are tracking their every single move, every, like, not, especially not high school kids. I mean, yeah, if you keep a planner, then you can track your moves and, you know, backtrack on what you were doing.
No high school students really doing that.
No, no. By the way, we talked about that podcast before, but yes, it is called Serial, you know, like serial number, and it is produced by This American Life, but it is, I think, the first season. And it was talking about Adnan and how his high school classmate, Haley, was found. Her body was found in the Washington, D.C. area, and he was the prime suspect. And so all these details, again, of him living his regular life as a high school student, and her, too, were used to kind of point out and villainize him as a potential suspect, mm-hmm. you know, because I think they had kind of dated or they liked each other for a little bit. And then, you know, things like somebody said it's not working out. Let's just be friends. Oh, is that a reason why you killed her? Like all these little things that just happened in life were used as proof. And he went to jail. I think he's still in jail.
Yeah, he's still in jail. So it's very, you know, it's very interesting how we sort of determine that somebody is guilty or not guilty, I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, and these are this is public opinion, social circumstance, social media, if you will, more so even before it ever happens. Like Jesse Smollett's case never even got to court. But social media and people in the society were already like, he did it, guilty, faked it, he's a lie, Lion King, like all the memes and stuff going around.
You didn't see the Lion King meme? No, send it to me.
Okay.
Because that sounds funny.
it is, you know.
Lion
dead
King.
Dead wrong. Lion, yes, because on the show Empire, his name is, this is one of them. His name is Jamal Lion. So they have, you know, lion is a lion. And so they've used the imagery from the Lion King movie and stage play and stuff to call him the lion, like telling lies king. So, you know, his reputation was already pummeled and beaten down into the ground before the charges were officially even brought.
So how do you even, like, I'm thinking of Jesse, and I'm just like, how do you come back from this? How do you come back from a...
DK. I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough.
I don't know in our modern day society, like, you know, because, like, right now, like, us and, you know, podcasters, you know, Instagrammers, professionals in our, you know, in specialized fields, mid-30s, like we are right now, like we set the tone, we're the tastemakers for society and whatever. So I don't know if in our day and age as what we are now have seen a case like this of somebody who was accused of setting up a total fraud on himself and not found guilty or not guilty, but, you know, got off. Like, I don't know. I don't know how he's going to come back from this. I don't know if he'll be able to, if Empire is going to entertain hiring him back because he's on the popular TV show Empire. And before his charges were brought, his screen time towards the end of the season was already decreased and then canceled. So he already was written out of the show, but not dropped, not fired. So then when his charges were brought against him, he still was not actually fired, but he was already written out of the show. So it was just basically a limbo. So now that his charges have been canceled and dropped and everything, are they entertaining writing him back in? Because right now the fate of the show is in question, so it's a lot of questions, you know. And I think it's a very unfortunate thing if he did set it up, because who knows the reason why or what his motivation may have been. It's probably counterproductive to that. But it's also very unfortunate if he didn't set it up, because he's looked at as the person who set up a fraud, you know, a crime against himself. And, you know, his reputation, his career may pay the price for that, even though he was the victim and totally innocent, you know?
So, Kendra, what is your pack light tip for this?
Thank you, Kendra, for asking. My pack light tip is first for the people who may be skeptical, to practice self-awareness in your thinking about these situations. You know, it's so quick for us to easily say, well, if that was me, then I would. Well, if it happened to me, then I would. Well, what I would have done, you know? But it's so easy to say what you would have done having not been the person there in that moment. And if you have been through a similar experience as a victim who was saying something, maybe you did act in a way that you thought was better, but it was most likely different than how someone else did. So just like I said, that self-awareness and coming from a place of empathy that, you know, people handle things differently. And so it's important to not, because someone did something or handled something in a way that you wouldn't, to just blame them as the victim and slice and dice everything they're saying to look for ways. I think sometimes it's kind of a self-comforting thing, too, that people might try to pick out what a victim did that got them in that situation to happen. So that way you know, okay, I didn't do this, so that couldn't happen to me, you know? And then for the victim, you know, there are always people out there who will believe you. Even if you feel like you're in a circle, specific people, your loved ones won't believe you, there's always going to be people out there to believe you. So try not to let the skepticism of the people who you want to believe you stop you from telling your truth and you know, operating in that. Nedra, Peck Light.
So I think we have to stop blaming or not believing people when they say things happen to them. Like, I don't think we're investigators. And so we like to do a lot of investigating, like, this can't be true because of this, or this isn't true because of that. And I think if somebody says something, even if it isn't true, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. A lot of times I always think, like, but why would they make this up? You know, I've said from this situation from the beginning, I want to believe that it's true because I just don't know why anybody would make it up.
Exactly.
And so I'm not a police officer. I'm not, you know, I'm not anyone in a position to sort of investigate the facts, the video, the audio, all of these sorts of things to believe if it's true. So I just feel like believe victims, because you don't know when something is true. And I'd hate to be like, oh, no, we said this wasn't true for you. And it really was. So believe victims.
Kendra T will definitely believe you. I'm more inclined to believe when people say something has happened to them and, you know, get the benefit of the doubt, because I don't have a reason not to. Agreed. Didn't have a reason to not believe Jesse, you know? And so, hey, that's what it is. So, y'all, practice some empathy out there, okay? And don't victim shame and victim blame.
Yes, please do not do that. And pack light. Hey, guys, if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us. If you do not like our podcast, please send us an email or hit us up on social media and tell us. Don't bring our rankings down.
All reviews matter. You said that before.
Except for bad ones.
Good reviews matter.
It's real. Elevated elegance on another element. And she keep it genuine. Special dedication going out to my...